Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 237, top of the day to you, Mick.
Oh, hello, Leah. It's so good to be back.
It's great to have you back. What an exciting time. We usually catch up for the Christmas stuff and try and get you on at least one during the year, but
we've got to wait for Tom to go to Sandy Balls before we can get on the show. That's apparently where he is this week.
Yeah, what is Sandy Balls? I didn't understand that either. That was an interesting.
but trust Tom to find a place that sounds like that and then tell everyone where he is. I love it.
And he said it was nowhere near the water or a sporting event. So that's
where you get Sandy Balls.
Sandy Balls. I don't know about you, Mick, but do you reckon almost every second person you know is overseas at the moment?
Oh, everywhere. So seriously, friends in Greece. I've got a bunch of people in Greece. A good friend of mine just went to Ireland, so they're in Kilkee right now. America, Europe, like everywhere. Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
So I'm very, very jealous. So yeah. I'm green with envy right now. Yeah. You think I was in Sandy Balls too?
But, you know, like at least it's making Facebook or Instagram or whatever kind of interesting to look at now, right?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I do like looking at other people's Instagram and photos and stuff and just, you know, because I'm happy for them. I'm happy they went over there and I'm excited that they've got to go and I can just dream when it's my turn.
It'll be your turn soon.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually I'm going to Vietnam soon, so that'll be good.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'll be ready to be jealous about that then. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by the last bit of butter. Not enough for the whole slice of toast, but enough that you try in hopeful hope to cover the whole surface area. Crust not included, of course. The council has received hundreds of complaints about their intention to turn the unused playing fields into used playing fields. Many of our local sporting teams have to drive to Playersville to train and play games or matches, depending on what they call it. So they proposed a proposal to start regular maintenance on our local playing fields, but dog walkers are up in arms. They have been using the areas to walk their woof machines and do not want to stop. The council claims that the 842 dog parks around the county, a world record, is enough space for dogs to be walked, and our local footpaths are beautifully suited to paws as well. The next few public council meetings will surely be entertaining. If you're interested in going along, best get there early, as they're anticipating them to be full to overflowing. Screenings of Blue Lagoon and Blue Lagoon 2 at Watchersville's Retro Cinema will no longer be clothing optional. Tops, pants and shoes now must be worn at all times for everyone's safety. This comes after the mysterious invasion of snappy crabs during last week's movie. The anthropods went around pincer gripping any sort of human flesh they could find, and there was a lot on display. So for everyone's safety, while they still try to eradicate the crabs, keep your kit on, people. Regan Teagenson has announced her world tour will be starting in her hometown, aka Watchersville, aka here. Tickets to her one-woman stand-up show where she cracks jokes about rhubarb will be on sale Monday morning 9 a.m. She's expected to put on two performances a day for the next month here, so we're in for a treat. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. We're going to have a look at a new film that you checked out last week.
Very excited about that. Nude film.
Yeah, exactly. That's even better. Oh, very good at the segues. Instead of a quiz, you can relax. It's just listener questions.
Oh, no, I just studied up on everything. I was so ready for a quiz. No, I couldn't beat Tom anyway. Tom, like, nails them every week. Just like... I'm probably pretty glad. Pretty.
You know, sometimes relieved. I think if he gets too wrong, I go, oh, did I make it too hard?
Maybe he was just tired that
way. Maybe he was. But I want to crack on into the news because I saw a few things that are a little bit interesting and maybe we can make them even more. Let's talk about Taika Waititi and his update about the new his Star Wars film that he has been talking about making for a year or two now.
Yeah, so exciting. I love Taika. He's such a friendly-looking guy, isn't he?
I know. And whenever you see that he's
producing or starring or directing in something, you think, oh, well, I'm going to watch that.
Totally.
And I know I'll enjoy it. So the good thing is he's still talking about making a Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing is that he hasn't actually started writing it yet.
How long does it take to write a film? I have no idea.
I have no idea either. Mm. And do you do it by yourself or do you have people to help?
I feel like it'd take like a year to write a film, wouldn't it? Or 6 months.
Surely. There'd be a lot of drafts, like, right? You can't just do one and then go, this is it. I'm not changing it.
Like, I always feel like books, I mean, some people churn out books every year, but I feel like they're just writing constantly.
Yeah.
I feel like Tyka's too busy doing his little trips around the world promoting all these things. When does he even get a chance to write?
He's so busy. Well, he's also still going to, I think, later this year, be filming the second season for Our Flagman's Death, which I'm very excited about, and Time Bandits, which I am less excited about because I don't know that much about it, but I'm interested.
Is this linked to the original Time Bandits?
I think so.
Same concept?
I believe so.
Like from the 80s, this film was Terry Gilliam, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was trippy as. It was fantastic though. Very out there.
I think, and I could be getting this wrong because I'm not researching it right now, but I have a feeling there might be somebody who wrote or had something to do with Rogue One who might be having something to do with the script of Time Bandits. Or maybe I'm getting two things mixed up. If I get it wrong, you can email the watchers at podcast@gmail.com. But yeah, I think I would really like to see his Star Wars film because I think that it's going to be have a wonderful tone that potentially not that many other Star Wars productions have.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fun tone.
Cheeky.
Yeah, a bit cheeky.
Yeah, you don't get Star Wars being too cheeky. I mean, you know, Mandalorian in bits. A little bit cheesy.
That's true.
Obi-Wan's very serious.
Very serious.
Except for the girl. What's her name? Princess Leia.
Yeah, yeah. The girl. I was like, well, which one is that? Can't be her.
I mean, you would know her name. For some reason, I took a second to peek.
That was amazing. Yeah, she was really good. Sometimes when Star Wars try to do funny, it ends up being corny.
Yeah.
But I think with his tone, they might nail it.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you and I, we were talking just before we hit record, but we're watching Stranger Things, but we're not like binging it because the episodes are very long.
Well, this is what happens when you're watching a lot of things at once as well. I just take little snippets. I'm not a binger by any means. I won't just watch a show nonstop. I'll watch an episode. My wife and I will go, okay, I think we're good with that episode. Now let's watch something else the next night or something. So we sort of rotate around what we're feeling like watching. And Stranger Things is at the top of our list right now, but the episodes are so long that we sometimes don't get through a whole episode. Like even in one night, we go through like 45 minutes, we're going, oh, have a little break, and then we don't watch anymore. Well, you know, we sometimes have phone breaks. We do this thing where you have a little phone break.
What's that mean? Just have a scroll?
Well, to stop yourself from looking at your phone during the show. And I get a bit narky about this just because I'm like, we're watching a show, let's watch a show. But then every now and then she's like, let's have a phone break. So we put the pause on the TV and then we do some like scrolling or whatever, you know, so we can get it out of our system.
Get it out
and then
of
we
the
can
system,
keep watching
yeah.
it again. I feel like a lot of people probably relate to this is that sometimes you sort of watch TV, but you're sort of watching your phone at the same time. You're not focusing. You miss a lot, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's when I know that I'm not really into it.
Yes. I'm watching The Boys as well right now. I'm still catching up on that, a few shows I'm getting to. And The Boys is a show where you can't look away.
Yeah.
You know, if you look away for a second, someone's head explodes. So you just cannot do it.
It sounds stupid, but you're actually serious. That's actually what happens.
Exactly.
That's so good.
So I'm trying to force myself to not look away from the screen.
A phone break. I really like that concept. Mm. I also quite approve of the fact that you guys may only watch 45 minutes of something and then watch the rest of it. Because I know a lot of people go, no, I have to watch this whole entire episode in one sitting.
Yeah.
Or my world will explode. Or my head will explode. But I'm the same as you. Like if I'm feeling like I'm struggling or I'm a bit tired or I've got something else on or sometimes I'll watch stuff during the lunch break and well, the lunch break's finished so I can't go, no, I really need to just finish it to get it out of my system. I have no qualms in picking up halfway through an episode.
It's the beauty of streaming TV, right? You've got that ability and if you're not into it at that moment, you just go, I don't have to watch it now. So, yeah, not like the old days of live TV when X-Files was on. Doesn't matter if you didn't feel like X-Files. It's on. You've got to watch it.
You've got to watch it unless you want to tape it. But, no. You know, it's too difficult.
Yeah, well, I suppose we could do that.
You could have done it. Video cassettes existed. Anyway, I was under the impression that this season was the final Stranger Things.
So was I.
I've just read that the, the co-creators, the Duffer brothers, they're announcing that season 5 is going to be the final one. So I'm like, wait, hang on. So the one that we're watching now with the really long finale, is that season 5? Or I thought it was season 4.
Yes.
Like 4B. I'm very confused. But Stranger Things, over the 32 episodes of that show, Netflix has said it has racked up 7.2 billion minutes of streaming.
Whoa.
7.2 billion.
No wonder they want them to keep going.
I mean, I think a fair bit of money is being thrown.
Throwing those Duffer Brothers moolah to make more seasons. But I did also hear that season 5 will be a little bit of a time jump. And I'm not, no spoilers, because I don't know anything because I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I haven't watched the finale either. But,
because they're all growing quickly and probably quicker than the show is. So sure. I think the idea is that they'll actually jump into the future a little bit for season 5. That's all I've really
read. I'm happy with that.
I think they need to wrap it up. If they're going to finish the series, there's probably a lot of loose ends to wrap up.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened in 4 yet, but that's just what I've heard.
What I enjoy about season 4 is that it feels more like Stranger Things than season 3 did. Season 3 was fine, but this to me, I'm enjoying more. And I've heard that from a lot of people, even people who haven't started Stranger Things until, recently, because the hype on this has been exceptional,
It's amazing that
everywhere.
People hadn't watched the first 3 seasons sometimes until now. They're like, oh, good to start from the beginning. I'm like, well, where were you? Like,
what happened? What do you mean? Yeah, you've been busy watching The Crown or something. So I just find it exciting that now they do have that chance to stick that landing.
You know what's also great is that this season and last season, it introduced new characters that have pretty much taken over as the favourite characters of the show from the original, trio of boys or 4 boys?
I think there were 4 boys and 11. And 11. Yeah. There's so many more characters.
I mean, they're still great, but a couple of them are sort of like, you don't really care about Mikey so much or Will. You want to see what happens to Eddie and Steve and Aaron. Like, they're the characters that have really grasped everyone's attention. And not many shows, I feel like, would do that. Like,
no.
Almost transition to completely new cast.
And the fact that it's been so what feels organic, even though it must be clearly intentional, but it feels organic as a watcher to watch it and have these new characters just come in and be part of the main cast. And you're like, this is great.
Yes.
Very happy with that.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watchers on Twitter and Instagram.
I also wanted you to be excited about Chucky season 2. Did you watch any of Chucky? Now, the reason I put this one in is because Tom was so excited about the fact that there was a Chucky TV series that came out.
I've not seen it.
I've not seen a Chucky film.
I saw Chucky when I was a kid.
I know what it is, but I thought it was too scary, so I couldn't watch it as a kid. It's too scary. I can't do it.
It was scary. I mean, it's frightening. Doll, like.
Yeah, the doll, and it looked evil from the beginning. I wonder now, though, if I watch it. Yeah. But the season 2 is happening because they're casting. So it must have been popular enough. So they're casting Lachlan Watson, who will be playing Glenn Glenda in season 2. Now, this is a gender non-conforming character that first appeared in, I think, the 5th film called Seed of Chucky. I'm saying all of this like I know what I'm talking about.
Which followed on from Bride of Chucky at some point.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's her name? Jennifer Tilly is when I think of Chucky, she's the person I think of, right? Don't ask me who voices Chucky. I just know that Jennifer Tilly's in it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I just remember how ridiculous the image of a doll jumping at somebody is. It's like, it's a doll. Just knock it off.
What kind of arm strength does a doll have? I don't know. I've got no idea.
Been working out.
Yeah, that's right. Doing all of that stabby practice. So that's one to keep an eye on. But did you watch Mayor of Easttown?
Yes.
I really like that.
Yeah, really, really good. Kate Winslet, right?
Kate Winslet,
Character I've never seen her play before. Such a pretty dour show. Like
very dour. No one's having a good time. No. Yeah.
But yeah, she was amazing. It was a really great show.
Really, really
are
good.
Are they making another one?
But HBO love her so much that they've put her in a new show called Trust. She's executive producing this one as well. It's a limited series, much like Mayor of Easttown, and it's based on a book that follows a wealthy financier who reads a novel based on his real life and is upset as to how he and his wife were betrayed. So he hires a secretary to ghostwrite a memoir in hopes of setting the record straight. However, she becomes aware that he's trying to rewrite history and his wife's place in it.
Wow.
So is she going to be the ghostwriter or is she going to be the wife?
Oh, I don't know.
I would like it if she was the ghostwriter.
The writer. I think it would be better if she was the writer. And almost investigating or looking into why he's changing the story.
Is he being dodgy? Is he not? Yeah, and I'm thinking without having read the book or any more than just the synopsis, I'm thinking it might almost be that kind of series where you don't know who to believe until – very far into it.
Oh, yeah. They're always interesting. And everyone's got a different theory. There's also almost guaranteed to be a twist.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll be this theory, there'll be this theory.
Yeah.
And then it'll be completely one, another one that nobody had thought of.
And you're like, oh.
That's how they do these things.
I could never have predicted that. Kind of like without saying what the kind of, well, it wasn't a twist. It was more a dramatic thing that happened in Mayor of Easttown. Mm. And you were like, wow.
Exactly.
What? Now what do we do?
I'm actually a bit disappointed that Mare hasn't continued on.
I would have thought she would be in perfect placement, that character, for something else to happen, because even though it felt like everything in that series was almost revolved around her or peripherally, I still think that town is big enough for more murders that Mare can solve. She's good.
I mean, it's like, you know, these small towns that just have lots of murders.
Yeah.
Apparently no one sees as wrong.
like Jessica Fletcher.
Yeah, yeah, Murder, She Wrote all over again.
Gosh, that I would not live in that town. Or if Jessica comes in for a holiday into the town you live in, you're leaving straight away, right? You're like, nah, I'm going on big holiday. I'm not having anything to do
with
that.
Oh, and what's this film crew coming with her?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-oh. I don't want to be the murderer or the murderer. Like, both is pretty bad. Did you see over last week that, you know, sometimes companies go, I'm going to jump in on that cool tweet or that meme that everyone's doing?
Oh, yeah. The social media people.
Well, give it a crack. It's going to be so funny.
Yeah, and they think they can tap into the zeitgeist and put something out there. Yeah,
people are going to love it.
Yeah.
So I saw one from EA, so Electronic Arts, the gaming publisher, developer?
Yeah, developer.
I think they're both, yeah. They said, so there's been a tweet meme where you go, she's or he's a 10, but, and then say the negative thing that is not always negative. So they did one that said they're a 10, but they only like playing single player games.
Oh.
And everyone went, yeah.
So?
We would prefer to play single player games, especially compared to, you know, the ones that continuously just play and with multiplayer and you need to buy stuff. Mm. But also people pointed out, hang on a second, EA, you've got plenty of single player games. Can I mention Star Wars Fallen Order, Mass Effect, Sims?
Yeah.
Like all these single player games and the internet just.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
That's right. They're FIFA, right? I think they're FIFA.
Yeah, so exactly.
Insane that they would. Yeah, but anyway, the internet just went, well, hang on a second. We're just going to pummel you into Twitter oblivion.
Poor social media producer. They misstepped there, right? Didn't they?
I wonder if there was a meeting about that or if they just went, oh, I've got a great idea.
But conversely, it's gotten a lot of attention, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And so sometimes these things might look like they backfired actually increased engagement and it's a win.
So if they now this week, do some sort of reveal of some amazing single player game, maybe a new Mass Effect because everybody, not played Mass Effect, but apparently everybody loves it. A new one, they go,
gotcha.
Yeah, we gotcha. Yeah. Now everyone's a 10.
That would be clever. That would be very clever. But I bet they're probably not that clever.
Probably not that clever. And even if they are that clever to have that idea, they probably don't have a game ready to reveal. Because everybody revealed all of their games at the beginning of June. That's what they do.
That was the time.
I think so, yeah.
Summer in America.
Summerfest, whatever it's called.
Oh, yes, yeah, Steam went crazy with selling things cheap.
Did you do a lot of buying?
I've got too many games. I really do. I only play about 3 or 4 different ones.
Yeah. I remember last year for your top five, you had, what was it called?
Valheim.
Valheim. You still playing that one?
Now and then, but I've got a bunch of mates, and I do play a lot of multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Just
right.
with certain friends, and we switched back from Valheim to Ark. Have you heard of Ark?
Is that the one where you're like a caveman in the beginning?
Yeah, yeah. You've got nothing on, and you're running through the forest, and then the dinosaurs come.
Yeah, right.
And it's all about dinosaurs. You're taming dinosaurs. Now, Ark 2 was supposed to be out this year, and Ark 2 was promised to be bigger and better, the new engine. You know, Vin Diesel was going to be cast in it.
Oh, yes, I saw the preview for that. I was like, what's he doing in a game? Yeah, right, yeah.
It looks amazing, and we've been looking for it for like nearly 2 years, and now they've bumped it to 2023.
Oh, okay.
But they've released a new map in the original Ark,
which is about
6 years old now. It's like pretty old. But it's fun, you know, especially with a bunch of people. It's hard, it's challenging. You've got to tame dinosaurs. If you die, you've only got like a certain amount of time to get your body.
Oh, so your friends have to.
Yeah, so your friends help you out. Like you quickly, can someone jump on and help us get my body, you know, stuff like that. So you can just solo player grind it, but it's a very challenging game. Mm. I've jumped back and forth onto that as well with a bunch of mates. But I like single player games.
Yeah.
My favorite probably at the moment is Sniper Elite. I think I just go through that now and then.
Oh, yeah, to do the slow motion replay.
I quite enjoy that.
Yeah.
Shooting people in slow motion bullets.
It looks really cool. Don't they do a zombie version of that as well? Or like a Nazi zombie version? I don't know. I've heard about it.
Maybe.
I've heard about people slow motion killing.
I think the thing, isn't it?
Slow motion
bullet time thing.
Yeah.
Back to the old Max Payne days.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I
used to love bullet time in there. Yeah. That was the thing. I think they copied it off The Matrix, though, really.
I think they did, yeah. Because when The Matrix came along, it was like, wow, what is this thing? How have they done it? It's magic.
What's your favourite single-player game at the moment, Luke?
Well, I'm still playing Horizon Forbidden West.
I would get a PS5. Just so I can play that game. It looks so great. I
really like it. But you really need to play the first one, which is on PC.
Oh, yeah.
So you could play the first one.
Catch up.
Yeah. Mm. And then maybe by the time you catch up with that, then maybe they'll – I mean, I assume that Sony will then release it onto Steam after about a year or two. So you could do that. But I like those open world games because I can just take so long. I like to get so sidetracked that by the time I come back to the main mission, the main storyline, I'm so overpowered. It's ridiculous, right? But this one, particularly actually more the first Horizon game, the main story was so compelling that I didn't want to do the side quests. I just wanted to continue finding out the secrets.
Well, that's well written then. That's very encouraging well you to follow the story, which I think sometimes is hard to do if it's not an interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I've got to watch it.
They are going to make a series somewhere. I don't know how they're going to do it. Will they do Aloy? Because I don't know. Or they're just going to set it in the world. But if you set it in the world, why wouldn't you not have Aloy? Because she's...
I don't know who Aloy is.
She's the main character. Okay, cool. She's the redhead
that you see
on
name.
The cover.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
She's a car part. Aloy.
Aloy? Sure. Do they have other car parts in there? You know, like
maybe.
Ball joint or, I don't know.
Carbonator.
Carburetta.
Carburetta. Cabanara.
Oh,
Boscaiola. That sounds delicious.
I might have that
for dinner, actually. That's a good idea. Let's just get straight into the watching and playing suggestions right now.
Okay.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We will also have some listener questions later, which we may answer, you know.
Yes.
I don't know how many we'll get through, but we'll get through them as many as possible. But I've been playing a game called The Quarry, which I saw was like this horror film video game. And I was like, okay, Now, over the weekend, at least here in Sydney, it was incredibly rainy. Like the rain over this weekend meant that all hockey games were cancelled and a lot of other sporting activities. So I went, all right, I'm just going to focus in and try and get as much of this game played as possible.
Do it.
So I did, and I reckon I played about 4 hours, and I think I need now. The scary stuff's properly happening. There was some scary stuff in the prologue, and then there were chapters, right? I think I'm into chapter 3, and only now it was just a lot of think Dawson's Creek kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, but if you know that Dawson and Pacey are about to get murdered by a monster, it was that kind of thing. It's taking a while to warm up.
Yeah, right. Four hours in. If it's was it like advertised as like a horror game?
Yeah.
All right. And yeah. It's not scary at all.
Well, I mean, they have little bits where you can see something flash behind a tree or something and go, oh, what's that? Was that a ghost? Yeah. Is that a monster? What's going on? Or is it just someone? I did want to get into the meat of it, and I was sure that 4 hours would be an appropriate amount of time. But, slow going. I don't know how anybody else has gone playing it. I want to finish it because I want to know what happens, but how long is it going to be?
How many chapters are there?
I think there's six.
Okay, so you're halfway through.
Halfway through. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Plough through. Four more hours.
Yeah. I reckon I can do it this week. I definitely can.
Just play it with the dim lights off.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. Well, I mean, it was very dark on Sunday. We didn't need any lights.
True.
Yeah, the lights were, it was dark. What did you just bunker down?
I was out
over the weekend.
Actual act sport on the weekend.
Oh, really? But
I was at this sports game on Saturday where it was like a dam in the middle of the stadium, puddles everywhere. And it was like old school 80s football where they were just like dirt all over their face and their jerseys. You could tell the new players that ran on because their jerseys were bright white, you know, like it's like they haven't even been tackled yet.
Yeah.
So you could tell how many people had played, how many hours in the game. But no, it was so weird, but I was safely up in the commentary box. So it was fine to be able to watch it from up there.
Yeah, nice.
And I'm just glad I was not one of those sideline eyes or boundary commentators because, oh boy, like just sideways rain, wind.
It was hectic.
Yeah,
crazy. So hectic. But up in the commentary box, can you see everything? Like, or do you feel too far away?
No, they're usually a really great view because they're high up. You've got glass all around you and you've just got a really good top view of the game. Sometimes where I stand is a little bit further back, so I can't quite see the ground.
Yep,
so you end up looking at the TV screen on the right instead of the ground because you can't quite see it. But that's because I'm not actually commentating. I'm just pushing buttons.
You're a button presser. Yeah. We're all button pressers. We
are button pressers of life.
That's exactly it. Oh, that sounds fun though.
Yeah.
This is probably for a radio podcast, but it's a bit stressful because outside broadcasts are stressful.
Yes, it can be stressful, especially when things go wrong, especially with radio mics, which often seem to go wrong. And sometimes buttons don't work or sometimes cables fail. So, it can be stressful, you know, and live radio.
Yeah, something has to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
There has to be sound.
So you're setting up a whole box from scratch. The cable, everything is put in yourself before the game. And so there's many things that can go wrong. But it's part of the charm, right?
It is part of the charm. Outside broadcast, where something different breaks down each week.
Yes.
Never the same thing. So you can't learn from the mistakes. But you went and saw a film this week, last week.
I did. It was on a Wednesday, but the movie was called Nude Tuesday.
You must have been confused.
I was. I just went on the wrong day, obviously. This is such a cool, unique, original idea. I don't think I've ever heard of it being done before.
Yeah, right.
But there's a concept behind this film, and that is the directors and writers invented a language, and I have to remember how to say it because it's a weird sort of hybrid language, I guess you'd call
it. Almost pidgin English kind of.
Zobftanlik.
Wow.
Which is from Zobftan, which is a little island just near Hawaii, apparently.
Okay.
So it zooms in onto this island, and everyone there speaks this interesting language of which the actual actors have no idea what they're saying. They're acting a whole film not knowing what the film is actually about. They have to basically interpret you know, what's happening in each scene with a made-up language.
Yeah.
About four or five words are standard, like thank you and yes and no and stuff like that. So they're common. But everything else is just gobbledygook. It's amazing, this concept. And then the film's made in gobbledygook. Then they get writers to jump in and do the subtitles for the film. So the film potentially has an infinite number of versions.
Amazing.
Because it can be written, the subtitles can be written by whoever happens to take up the challenge. There's two versions right now. It's only just coming out. So this is a collaboration between Australian and New Zealand film companies. Mm. It's got a bunch of Australian actors, a bunch of Kiwi actors. It was filmed in Queenstown, I believe.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And, of course, Jermaine Clement is the main actor. Oh, he's the guru of the sex camp.
Let's just say. Of course he is.
And he's just amazing. You know, and I think the film is just sort of surrounded by a lot of really great improvisers as well, because that's what you're doing. You're improvising this film basically from not having any sort of script. So there's two versions that have been released so far. One's written by British comedian Julia Davis, who I don't know much about.
I feel like I know her name.
Yeah. And then there's another version written by Ronnie Cheng and Celia Piccola.
Oh.
So the two of them have teamed up for the Australian version, which is going to be exclusive to Stan.
Okay.
I think comes out this week or next.
Perfect.
And the one I saw was at the cinema, which was the New Zealand / UK version, which was Julia Davis.
That was Julia Davis.
It's really clever. It's so funny. And you look at how they're acting it and the way that they're perceiving the script, and it's just, works. I don't know how it works. I don't know how they did it and how you would act something out not knowing what you're actually saying.
Not having any idea. What I reckon it must have been such an amazing moment when they went to their first screening, the actors.
Imagine watch, the first time they were seeing the script or the subtitles.
Just be like, oh, is that what I was supposed to be talking about? And then if it does get picked up by other countries, well, does that mean that those different language writers can write their own storyline?
Totally.
I love that.
Every country that decides to put their own subtitles on it by their local favourite comedians could make it say whatever they want it to say. So I dare say it's sort of a movie that could just jump around film festivals and then be redone by people in those different film festivals. What an amazing idea.
That is such a good idea.
Jackie Van Beek is the main actor in it, and you'd know her from directing some What We Did in the Shadows, but also The Inbetweeners. She directed and starred in that. She's done a whole bunch of stuff. Eagle versus Shark, she was in that. Of course, another, well, that was Taika Waititi, wasn't it? Or was that Jermaine?
Now you're stretching my.
And when I said In Betweeners, I meant the Breaker Upperers. A Breaker Upperers. Oh, right, Kiwi movie. I got Upperers and
the In Betweeners. Yes. Yeah, I was like, oh, I wonder who she is in that, because it's mainly about those three or four blokes.
No, yeah, Breaker Upperers. Have you seen Breaker Upperers?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's so good. It's a Kiwi movie. I think that's also with Jermaine. No, Taika. Taika executive produced it. So that's Breaker Upper is very, very – it's about a couple that go out and break up a couple. Like they get paid to go – can you – like, oh, I don't know how to break up with my boyfriend. And they're like, we'll get on the case.
We'll do it on my behalf.
And so Jackie's one of the people in the Breaker Upper as it goes around. Really clever. So awesome cast. And, yes, of course they get nude. And, look, Leah, my moment of fame came last week when I just saw this movie.
Yeah.
And I was just – on a high, you know, after a good movie,
you're like
loving it.
Yeah.
So I tweeted, as you do, after a movie, and I wrote a tweet which tagged Mr. Jermaine Clement.
Yeah.
And literally 30 seconds after I tweeted this to Jermaine, he replied. He said, so I wrote, do you want to see what I wrote? I said, saw nude Tuesday film tonight and what a romp it is. Just be prepared to see Jermaine Clement's junk and to laugh awkwardly a lot. That was what I tweeted. And then literally 30 seconds later, Jermaine goes, it's junk to you, but it's a treasure to me.
That's so good.
That's got 1,900 likes. I got a few likes on mine too, but, you know, that's, you know, he's a star power of Jermaine.
That's
very impressed that he quoted me and then said that. And everyone was like, oh, you're a national treasure, Jermaine. And yes, of course you are, because he's a legend. And
international treasure.
Everyone's now seen his junk. But I thought it was a pretty good advertisement for the film because, you know, it's only a small independent film.
Yeah.
It's not a biggie. So I think people should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I want to see it, and it's going it's coming to Stan. So
I believe this week, maybe, or in the next couple of weeks. So,
well, I'll be busy then.
It's actually like Stan helped produce it, so it's one of their films.
Yeah,
and I want to see it again because this is the Australian version that you have on Stan, which no one else.
Yeah, you'll have different. Yeah,
yeah.
I find Stan has a lot of stuff that I don't know exists, but once I read it, I'm like, oh, sounds really good. Keep my eye. It's one to keep an eye on.
It's like the streaming platform on the bottom of the pile. It's like, oh, yeah, but it's actually got good stuff on
it. It's got some really good stuff. Like that. Have you seen the show From?
No. From?
Check it out on Stan. From. Very, very good.
Cool.
One show that I absolutely adore, and I'm so glad that it's back. It's on Disney, not Stan, but it's Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez.
Oh, I've heard of this. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
I don't know why the introduction of Selena Gomez to those two, because, you know, those two have been working together for years and years and years. It should not work, but she makes it better. That trio is, I just want them to do stuff all the time now. They're so good together.
Awesome.
So the premise in the first season was that there was a murder in their building. Obviously. So they start a podcast about it.
As you do. You can do a podcast about anything.
So they try and like solve the murder on their podcast, get a massive following, and it's amazing. And it just gets more and more ridiculous as the season goes by. Anyway, they're releasing one episode a week, which is good. That's how you want it.
Yes,
you want to enjoy them like that. So I think episode 3 is out this week.
Mm.
So if you want to start watching it, it's definitely worth it.
Should I go back and watch the first season first?
Otherwise, you're going to miss the whole thing.
Yeah, of course. It's all linked together.
Yeah. The first season is a must if you want to jump into the second one. But it's such a good show. Ooh. Those three are so funny. Martin Short is ridiculous. And Selena Gomez has this, because I don't think I've seen her in a few films actually, but I've never noticed her voice is so deadpan. Oh. So compared to Martin Short, who's all up and down in every room doing all, she just talks like this the whole time.
Ah, she's a foil for his eccentricity.
Yeah, and then, you know, Steve Martin's just Steve Martin.
Yeah.
But amazing. And a lot of other actors that I don't want to tell you about because when they pop up, you're like, oh,
cameos.
Yes. Yeah, cameos, but also come back, you know, like there might be someone that lives in the building or maybe they might be another rival podcaster.
Ooh,
a whole heap of that kind
and
of
And then they
stuff.
All get in the car park and go for it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's right, Anchorman style. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, now that I think about it, there's at least two people who are in that Anchorman fight who are in this. Yeah.
I didn't even have any idea.
Now you got an idea of the kind of people that are in this.
Excellent.
But I'm very excited to see how much Shirley MacLaine is in it because she has appeared in the second season. And she's already amazing.
Ah, so good. I've got to check this out.
Yeah.
I reckon my wife will enjoy this too because it's sometimes hard to find shows that we both enjoy. So I reckon this could be one.
Yeah, I reckon this will be the one that you guys will be able to enjoy every single night. One episode a night. Don't overdo it. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into the listener questions?
Look, no, I don't think so. I think, you know, I haven't seen too many films at the films. I went and saw Elvis, but I think you've talked about Elvis.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, the movie, Baz and all that.
I'm just worried about Baz's face. Honestly. What's he done?
I don't know. I don't know how he's supposed to look anymore. What's his actual face?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
He looks like strangely like Benjamin Button backwards, you know, aging backwards.
It's just
awkwardly. Yeah. It's Baz. Baz is Baz, isn't he? He's a very eccentric sort of guy. Does what he wants to do. I'm still deciding on Elvis. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it.
Are you going to do another watch or no?
No, probably not. I mean, the only Baz movie I've seen twice is probably Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, me too, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's always on the top of the list of when they – oh, that and Strictly Ballroom because they're both.
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, I've watched Strictly Ballroom a lot. Tom and I had to watch Australia.
Oh, dear.
I'd seen it years before. I don't think Tom had ever watched it before because we were appearing on an American podcast where they wanted to review Australia. And we were like, oh, okay.
Mm.
And I'm like, just be warned, Tom, it's a really long movie. And it was really long. Is Elvis long?
Yes, too long. And there's definitely bits they could have chopped out. I think it was, I mean, two and a half hours, 15 around there, I think. But it just felt long. It got a bit too long. Some great performances. Yeah. I can't remember the guy who plays Elvis, but he's really.
I've amazing. Never seen him before.
No, he's been in a few things. Younger guy, but he played amazing. Like, no, I cannot fault him.
Yeah, cool.
But it's the periphery, the writing, a bit of the bazziness of it is a bit too crazy.
I get you.
Yeah. Anyway, it's nice to sort of see it was filmed in Australia and all that sort of stuff too. So that was back when Tom Hanks got COVID right at the start. He was filming that.
Oh, he's in that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Does he play the Colonel?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, right.
I haven't mentioned him because, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I watched him, rewatched him in Big recently.
Oh, back when he was awesome. Big, Money Pit, go back.
You know, I haven't looked for Money Pit for a while, but I couldn't find it on a streaming site. So might be time to have another look because that was a brilliant movie.
The funniest.
Shelley Long and Tom, why were they not in other films together? They were the perfect comedy duo.
I was obsessed with Tom Hanks until he made maybe Forrest Gump. No, he did Philadelphia, which got really serious.
Yeah, very serious.
But that was like a big change from him, from with all those wacky comedies he did in the 80s. And then he did Philadelphia with, I think, Denzel.
Yep.
And then that was it. He just went the serious path pretty much after that.
That's a good point because I'm trying to think A League of Their Own must have been before Philadelphia.
I think it was.
And maybe he was still quite funny in that.
Yeah.
Lovable half.
It was a comedy film.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. But I mean, everyone loves Tom Hanks, but I'm one of these people who just like goes,
You've got your Tom Hanks moment. Yeah. But it's Money Pit Big.
Money Pit is the best. Go back and watch that if anyone can.
Yeah. Must be on some. I'm going to do another streaming search for that one. Yeah, I'm going to look for that. Let's get into some listener questions.
Oh, let's do it.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
This is from Jared.
Hey, Jared.
Red Hot Chili Peppers have announced an Aussie tour, and I'm stoked about it. Good. That's me saying good. Mm-hmm. Leah said good. Jared says, what's the best concert you've ever been to?
Wow. That's
you go to a lot.
Of a question.
You go and to a lot.
I try to get to as many gigs as I can. I reckon this year I've been to, I don't know, 40 or 50, I guess. Not as many as a lot of my friends who go to two or 3 weeks. I've probably dialed it back a little bit this year. But nevertheless, yes, I've been to a lot of gigs and it's really hard to pinpoint the exact best one. I was at Guns N' Roses at Eastern Creek in 1993.
Oh, yes. I was my cousin.
About five rows back and it was the biggest show of my life. It still is. Like, it's still one of the biggest events of my life, seeing Guns N' Roses and Skid Row in front of me, you know, right there. So that's right up there. And but every time I think about this question, I always come back to this one show. And I was very young. I was 1993. And I went and saw Living Colour at the Horden Pavilion.
Yeah, right.
And drove up from Canberra and drove back again the same night.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy stuff. And this show was just, I've never been in a mosh pit. I was only 17 or whatever. And it was a whole pit was just moving. You know, you had no autonomy. You were just doing what the crowd did. You go left and right. And it was quite scary as a 17-year-old, like not having been in that sort of crowd before. But it was just such a visceral, loud energy. The crowd was just pulsing. That's pretty much what sold me on live music. I saw that gig. If that's what it can be like, I want to see live music and just experience it over and over again. So it's one of the first concerts, but it's still one of my favorite concerts ever.
Do you think, I don't know why I've suddenly thought of Chasing Amy, the film, but do you feel like your Chasing Amy is Chasing Living Colour concert? Like you're always trying to get to that concert again, like feel the high of that concert?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right because nothing has ever matched that experience. And maybe it was because maybe it wasn't as great as it actually was at the time. But, you know, thinking back, rose-colored glasses, all of that, it just still feels like this just I was just in awe. Like I couldn't stop staring at them and it just felt amazing. And I've been to a lot of good gigs since then, but, nothing really feels like it's ever matched it.
I'd say because I've seen Garbage quite a few times over the years because they were quite popular here and, you know, they were part of Mushroom Records, so they came out here a lot. And there was one – I think it was the album that had, you know, Go Cherry Lips, Go Baby Go Go, you know, and that concert they played so many songs that everybody in the crowd loved, and the crowd, the energy there was just insane. You know, the same thing you're saying, the crowd lifted each other up and they ended up being sort of almost one entity, and it was just such an amazing feeling. Another one that I think I've spoken, radio or here, who knows, but I've spoken of it, but the first time I ever went and saw Alanis Morissette, back in 1996, very early on, right? So she only had that one album, Jagged Little Pill.
Mm-hmm. The album.
Yeah. It's an amazing album, right? Yes. Like it's, I think everybody would be pretty impressed if they wrote that album. But every single word to every single song, the audience was singing along, to the point where at one point in time the mic cut out during a song, not for long, thank goodness, but didn't matter. Everyone was singing anyway. It was an amazing concert. So yeah, but did you ever go to see Red Hot Chili Peppers? My only memory of them is that waiting for them to come on, there was I think it was at the Sydney Football Stadium,
and
a fight took place. You know, because boys be boys, right? Mm. And it managed to take place surrounding me, and I was kind of left in the middle. You know how the crowd just sort of parts, and I was like, what's going on?
Oh, no.
Who's some random person just pulled me. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Because I
saved your life.
Yeah, I went a bit, I just kind of froze, like, what? Fight or flight, stand still.
Is there like a third option?
Yeah, exactly. It was funny.
I've been to my biggest Chili Peppers concert. I've seen them a few times.
Yeah.
Late 90s potentially.
Yeah.
Regurgitator was supporting them.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I love Regurgitator. Yeah. So they were on a big stage. And then but Chili Peppers came out naked with the socks on.
Socks on
cocks sort of thing. It was a classic gig. I do like their old stuff. Big fan. They are just huge on stage. So maybe I'll go see them. But I think Post Malone is supporting them, which I'm a little dubious on.
Okay. But all that's right. Okay. Maybe old. You can just listen to Californication whilst he's on.
Good
just
idea.
In your ear. This is from Kim. I found myself watching just Disney Plus and thinking of cutting some of my streaming services. Which one do you watch the most? Oh, the most. Feels funny because we were talking about Stan before. I think I watch, honestly, I think it's a mix between Disney Plus and Netflix for me. Mm. I do kind of watch a mix of them.
Yeah. You know, my TV remote.
Yeah.
It has a Netflix button.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So sometimes I just push that, like to start the TV, and it comes up with, and Netflix just comes up straight away. So I think it's almost my first go-to.
Yep.
And I admittedly do find a lot of stuff that I like on there, and I think the algorithms are pretty good in sort of suggesting things. But, I don't watch Disney Plus so much. Obviously the specific big shows I like, but I don't see what all the other things are on. Like you've just mentioned,
all that stuff
to go
in
to
Star.
See. So maybe I need to start watching those things, and then it'll feed up some better stuff in the algorithm.
Yeah. Sometimes I find Amazon has a lot of older things where you go, geez, I wish that show still existed somewhere. And you look it up, you're like, oh, there's 12 seasons of it right here. They managed to pick random stuff. So that, you know how when you think Disney, you're like, okay, I know exactly what I'm doing. But, stuff like Amazon is quite different. It's
I started watching.
Mixed bag.
And I think it's on Stan.
Yeah.
Cheers. I just served up Cheers. And I was like, oh, my God, I love Cheers so much. I went back to the very first episode, of Shelley Long.
Yeah.
And it just brought back so many memories. You know, even just the intro song and then the bar and just the sound. It's one of those shows which is it lends itself exactly to what it's all about, like the name. You know, everybody knows your name. You feel comfortable. And it just a TV show does that. So, yeah, I think Stan, maybe I do watch a bit of Stan now that I think about it. I forget. Just push a button.
Yeah, you just press a button and see what's on. Sometimes you're trawling through looking for something. You just feel like right then and there, and you're not even sure what you end up on. Marcos, actually, this is a two-parter. Mm-hmm. So he said, remember when watching movies in 3D was a thing? Do you remember some of the movies you watched in 3D?
That was a thing, wasn't it?
Mm.
Avatar was a big one.
He's mentioned Avatar, yeah.
Where the floating particles coming through the sky and you're wearing your glasses and just like, whoa, what is this?
And I think that's why Avatar was so big, right? Mm. Because his second part is, do you actually remember the plot of Avatar at all? Sort of. I don't know. I remember there was the like this world that we live in, and then they go into the world where the avatars, the blue people, are, and I don't remember why though.
I can't remember either.
I
have to remember watching it again before the new one comes out, so I can remember what happens. Because I just remember it being great, like, but it just feels like so diluted now. Like, just
isn't
so
it
long
funny
ago.
Though? Yeah. Like, it seems to be that film that everyone goes, "Oh yeah, I remember watching it. I was heavily into the hype, but don't ask me what it's about."
No, I just like the floaty bits.
Yeah,
in the
I like
3D.
The floaty blue bits. I remember watching one of the Pirates of the Caribbean. Maybe it was the fifth one. It had Penelope Cruz in it.
Oh.
And it was in 3D. And I think that was one of the only films I actually saw in 3D.
Oh.
And I was into it. And then I was just like, oh, I'm a bit sick of wearing these now. Can I watch it normal?
Oh, they're so uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
They weren't the old school blue and red ones. They were proper reactionary ones where you had to look at the screen.
Yeah.
And if you looked away, you'd flick it off and then it flicked back on again when you're facing it. And I remember the Avatar was like 3 hours or whatever. And by the end of it, I had the sorest bridge of my nose. And I was just like, why? Yeah. Why are we doing this?
What's the point of this?
Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I think I will watch the second Avatar film just out of interest. And also I feel like a lot of people will, so I kind of want to be part of that.
Yeah.
But I'm more interested in maybe last year or the year before, they said that they're making an Avatar game. And I was like, that sounds cool. Like, 'cause that world looks really amazing and I can imagine it being a really cool open world game.
It's got to be open world.
Got to be, right?
They're the best games. I love open world games.
Me too.
And if it's beautiful to look at, a bit like Event.
Exactly. Horizon.
Yeah.
With car parts.
I can't think of one now. I was trying to think of another good car part.
Yeah, steering wheel.
Sure. Gearbox.
Oh, dear.
Clutch.
Yeah, clutch and...
axle?
Drink holder.
All right. This is what cars have become now because, you know, you just push a button and they drive themselves.
Yeah,
anyway,
they pretty much do,
Drink holder
amazing. Mick, this has been a lot of fun. Thoroughly enjoyed all of this.
So good to be back here and chatting to you. And look, Tom should just stay away and I'll come back every week.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
No, not really. We love Tom.
Yeah, it's exactly. But it'd be nice if we can get you and Tom back in the studio.
For sure.
Together.
I want to see what goodies he brings back from the place where he was at.
Sandy balls.
Yes.
But just before I let you go, though, right, I feel like the majority of small towns in Australia have a beach called Sandy Beach. And you look at it and you go, that's not Sandy Beach. That's a patch by the river where there's no trees. And they're like, this is our Sandy Beach. Looks good, doesn't it? You're like, I think that sounds seedy. I don't want to be a part of that.
Seedy Sandy Beach.
Seedy Sandy Beach. Seedy Sandy Beach.
Yes, I think you're right. And maybe someone shipped the sand from the coast in and said, here lies Sandy Beach.
From this day forward.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much, Mick. I'm going to say, on that note, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Perfect. You're part of the film.
Hmm.
You're part of the film.